It was as if her other face, the long-mouthed predator, had appeared underneath the benign one. I could not see that face, as she had warned me, but I could feel its presence and its raw, bottomless hunger. I realized it only when she lunged, not at my plate, but at me. I didn't even have time to cry out. Her bony, sharp-nailed hand shot at my throat and might have torn it out by the time I registered the danger. But an instant later, her hand stilled and quivered an inch away. I stared at it, then at the dark blotch around her wrist. Just like the day before at my table. And just as then, Shiny suddenly became visible to me, his glow rising from within, his face hard and eyes irritated as he glared at Lil. Lil smiled at him, then at me.
You see?
I dragged my mind back from silent screaming fits and took a deep breath to calm down. I did see, but it made no sense. I said to Shiny, "Your power comes back to you when you protect me?" I could still see him, which made it easy to see the contemptuous look he threw at me. I nearly flinched in surprise. What had I done to merit that look? Then I remembered what Madding had said. He doesn't think much of mortals. Lil grinned, reading my face.
"Any mortal," she said, and eyed Shiny. "You will wander among mortals as one of them."
I blinked in surprise and saw Shiny stiffen. The words were not hers, I could tell. They did not sound like Lil at all. I heard darker echoes.
"Unknown, commanding only what wealth and respect you can earn with your deeds and words. You may call upon your power only in great need, and only to aid these mortals for whom you hold such contempt."
Shiny released her wrist and turned away from her, sitting down with a bleak expression. What little of it I could see, because his glow was fading already. Ah, he had dealt with the threat, so he no longer needed his power. I took a deep breath and faced Lil. "I appreciate the information, but if you don't mind, in the future, just explain things to me. No more demonstrations." She laughed, which set the little hairs arise on my skin. She did not sound entirely sane.
"I'm glad you can see me, mortal girl. It makes things so much more interesting."
Her eyes shifted to the table. "Are you going to eat that?" My plate? Or did she mean my hand, which rested near it? Very carefully, I moved my hand to my lap. "Be my guest." Lil laughed again, delighted, and bent over the plate. There was a movement too fast for me to follow. I had the impression of whirring needles and a quick, fetid breeze wafted past my nose. When she lifted her head half a breath later, the plate was clean. She took my napkin, too, to dab at the corners of her mouth. I swallowed hard and pushed myself to my feet, edging around her. Shiny was a barely visible shadow across from me, eating. Lil had begun to throw glances at his plate, too. There were things I wanted to say to him, though not in front of Lil. He had been humiliated enough the night before. But we would have to reach an understanding, he and I, and soon. I washed the dishes slowly, and Shiny ate slowly. Lil sat in my chair, glancing from one to the other of us, and laughing to herself now and again. The sun was high by the time I left the house, later than I'd hoped to set out. I had farther to go this time and tables to carry. Though I'd hoped that Shiny would join me again and perhaps help me carry things, he remained where he was after breakfast was done. He was brooding, in a darker mood than usual. I almost missed his old apathy. Lil left when I did, to my great relief. One problematic Godling house guest was enough for me. She bid me a fond farewell before she left, however, and thanked me so profusely for the breakfast that I actually felt better about her. Madding had always hinted to me that some godlings were better than others at interacting with mortals. Some of them were too alien in their thought processes, or too monstrous in our eyes, to fit in easily despite their best efforts. I had an idea that Lil was among these. I carried my tables and the best-selling of my merchandise to the southern promenade of Gateway Park. The northwestern promenade was where Art Rose stood, the better to take advantage of the crowds that came for the best view of the tree and other noteworthy sights of the city. The South Promenade, where the view was passable but not ideal, and where the attractions were less impressive, was a mediocre spot. Still, it was the only option I had left. The northeastern entrance of the park had been occluded years ago by a root of the tree, and the east gate had a lovely view of Skye's freight gate.